We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Just Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Neil Brennan, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be here. Neil is back with another special called Crazy Good. Neil is one of the last of the comedians who actually make special special.
Thank you, Charlamagne. Thank you for noticing, and thank you for dissing most of my peers.
They both at the same time.
Yeah, why not get your man who can do both? Hit it.
Do you feel less pressure putting this one out versus the others, like the blocks, three mics?
This one is not. If you thought the other ones were on some emo bullshit, I hear you. This one has no emo-ness to it at all. It's just like 53 minutes of, like, this is me, like, sprinting.
I like the emo-ness of
it. I know, I do too, but there are people that are like, nah.
Yeah.
My man was a little too introspective.
I don't have a problem with that. Somebody else, you know, somebody said that to me about Bill Burr recently. They was like, Bill might be doing a little too much there.
Well, you know,
I'm like, what's wrong with that?
Well, I watched him on here, and it was funny to see him be like that because it's so not what he's been like. Mm-hmm. But Bill was sort of weirdly the inspiration for Three Mics in a weird way, because mm-hmm. he had done a thing called The Moth and he talked about emotional stuff. So I just did two of them. And the other thing is, like, I feel better. I don't feel depressed anymore. So I didn't, gotcha. I wasn't going to force it. Mm-hmm. A dude, I did the show, I did Crazy Good in DC, and a dude DM'd me afterward and was like, I kept waiting for you to show up. He was basically saying, like, why weren't you sad?
Yeah.
I have an announcement at the beginning of the show, like, hey, I'm not sad. Mm-hmm. So just enjoy yourself.
Let me ask you a question. What got you out of that sad spot? Because you've been up here several times.
Yeah.
And you had a total different light, different space.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Neil Brennan's not sad today. He's not down. He's not.
Neil Brennan, sir?
I said Neil Brennan.
Oh, they said Nick.
Yeah. No, I said no. Neil Brennan. So what got you into that?
Stay out of this.
Yeah. What got you into this new space?
Well, I, I call it plant medicine. The cops call them drugs.
Okay.
honestly, the thing I talked about before, ayahuasca, this thing called DMT, which I don't recommend, but it was, it kind of broke my brain and then it re-congealed into something better. And then this past year, MDMA has been really good for, if you do MDMA in a non-party space, it can be, it can, in my experience, it was a God connection.
MDMA, that's not acid, is it?
Ecstasy.
Ecstasy, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
Molly.
Okay.
So what made you think you needed that? Like, what got you to the point where, let me try ayahuasca, or let me try...
Because I tried Zoloft, I tried everything, and it was kind of working, and this was, it was just, it was kind of a Hail Mary, like, let's see. And the funny thing is, people can tell, like, when you're like, Neil's not sad. Yeah, like, I'm just kind of different. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing orange. I mean, come on. But I am, like, energetically, I'm different. And it's due to that. And then I've just gotten a lot of, like, it's the corniest shit in the world, but, like, gratitude?
Mm-hmm.
You've been on gratitude a long time.
Absolutely.
I was talking to a buddy of mine about how I was, like, I was doing, like, a gratitude checklist.
Mm-hmm.
I would do it once a day. And I would just go over the facts of my life. Because our brains kind of write sci-fi about, like, so-and-so's out to get you, and she hates you, and this and that. But almost none of it's true. And so I would do a gratitude checklist of, like, the facts of my life. Like, you are a successful comedian. You have 3 Netflix specials. You have a commitment to growth. You're curious. You're intelligent. You know, all, like, positive attributes. And then a buddy of mine was, and we were talking about Islam, and I go, Islam's got it right, where they're like, they pray 5 times a day, like, you kind of need to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, why don't you gratitude 5 times a day? And I was like, okay. So I've been doing that, and I don't always get to 5, but I've been doing that for the last 4 or 5 months, and it's been great.
So you find something to be thankful for 5 times a day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just do kind of the same list 5 times a day of, like, the facts of my life. Like, I'm a health, I mean, you... Anyone that can hear this, things are going pretty well. Even though if you're having a bad day or you're in debt or, like, there are things that are negative, but, like, if you live in a world where you can watch this or hear this, things are better for you than they are for a lot of the world.
Who are those things check off on their own? Waking up and making it home safely at night. That is a very it's a very unappreciated blessing to make it home at night.
Yeah, everybody had to make it home.
That's right. That's right.
Like, either they, not like they, a lot of people dying at work. No, but I'm saying, like, you be aware.
Yeah.
No, but, like, should people die? Just that's right. Stuff that's real basic.
That's right.
You forget, and if you can, it's like I said, it's so corny, but, like, it's effective. Just remembering how fortunate you are.
I was going to ask, you know, were you ever fearful of losing that quote-unquote touch, right? When you ever speak to sometimes rappers, they'd be like, I don't want to give up the lean because I think that helps me write better. Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel like if I go through when I'm going through the ayahuasca, whatever you're trying to get, you know, over that bump, that hump, that you would lose your touch as a comedian, or the genius as a comedian?
I don't really... I'm of two minds about it, which is one of them is I don't... It's a reflex at this point. Like, I've been doing this, like, 30 years. So if a news story happens, I can kind of, like, you know? And if I lose it, I had a good run. Like, I started, Half-Baked came out 27 years ago.
Right.
Wow.
So, no, I know. So, like, I wrote for all that on Nickelodeon. Like, I've been out here.
You wrote for all
I was,
that?
Yes, I was fighting the molesters. And, like, I've been doing this a long ass time. Mm-hmm. So if I lose the touch, I lose the touch. But what I found is the touch is, a reflex at this point.
Gotcha.
Like, I just, my brain does it.
Speaking
out of
the touch. Did you see any of that on Nickelodeon?
Thank you for bringing that up. I didn't see any of it, Charlamagne. But I'm against it.
Yeah.
So
I would hope so.
Now we're on the record, and hopefully this will hold up in court.
Jesus Christ, Neil.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
No.
Now, all your specials have great names, but it's not just names. If you've seen Three Mics, you know why it's called Three Mics.
Yeah.
If you've seen Blocks, you know why it's called Blocks. I'm assuming Crazy Good is just Crazy Good.
Crazy Good is actually... Okay, so one of the parts of the special is making fun of the commodification of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Like making fun of TikTok psychology and all that
mm-hmm.
shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I'm not against it, but I just feel like the amount of people making videos about trauma and all the diagnoses of, like, you're being gaslit, just all that stuff is so aggravating. It's so aggravating, and it's also dishonest because none of these people have any idea what they're talking about.
No.
They just heard it on another TikTok. So I'm basically, toward the end, I'm saying, you know, go to therapy. Take medication, do all the stuff you got to do, but just know that most of the great things in life are from psychopaths and drug addicts.
Damn. Jesus.
I mean, if I'm wrong, let me know.
Expound on that.
All right, all the inventors, Sigmund Freud.
Okay.
Open cokehead.
Yep.
Most of Freud's books should be called, this may be the cocaine talking. Like, he was a cokehead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, women are jealous of our dicks. Yeah. Like, it's real cokey shit.
Yeah.
Edison did coke. The Wright brothers, I don't know if they were on coke, but, like, I mean, or on meth, but they had the methiest idea, which is like, hey, do you fucking feel like you can fly? The modern inventors, Elon Musk.
Ketamine. He does ketamine a lot.
Ketamine, or he's just out of his mind. And then I get into, like, well, what about musicians? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Rolling Stones had, in order to tour America, had to get a doctor to test them for drugs every day. And the doctor lasted 6 weeks before he got hooked on cocaine.
Damn.
Yeah. Like,
damn.
Yeah. Hip hop, lean,
weed.
Shrooms.
Yeah. I saw that part.
So, you know. There's just and then I do comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you guys all psychopaths and drug addicts? I'm like, so far, Richard Pryor, drug addict, George Carlin, drug addict, Bill Cosby, choose your own adventure. the modern ones, like, you know, Lenny Bruce, a drug addict, John Belushi's a drug addict. John Mulaney told me to remind people he's a drug addict in the bit.
Wow.
Like, people were all something. So I'm not saying don't treat it. I'm not saying, you know, ride it. But I'm just saying the audience needs to accept that we're not. The other thing that's been happening is, like, comedians are like moral leaders, you know, like Dave or being a kid. It's like, why? There are these serious issues, and, you know, like transgender rights and stuff, and then
mm-hmm.
how bankrupt are other segments of society that they finally were like, well, what do the clowns think? Why are you asking us what we think about these? This should have never gotten to our desk. It's for politicians and clergy and other leaders, but, like, don't turn to Joe Rogan for vaccine advice.
Yeah, I think there's one, though. I would say when I watch George Carlin now, he was very prophetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he also, I can name a bunch of real dark shit. Like, he had a bit about bulimia. Rich bitch won't eat fucker. Not exactly the most ethical take. He had, you know, he went both ways. So, again, we can be that, but no one moves out to L.A. to be righteous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone moves out there to be funny and famous, you know? And it's the same thing with, like, is Ellen nice? Is Ellen, and I'm like, first of all, Ellen's hilarious,
mm-hmm.
A, and B, she's a gay rights icon. Like, Like, I don't need her to be. She came out on television, got kicked off television for being gay, and then came back and dominated. But that's not enough for people. They're like, yeah, but is she nice? It's so childish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like being like, is my car also a boat? Mm-hmm. Just appreciate that you have a car. Also, is Ellen nice? How many nice lesbians have you ever met in your entire life? You know what I mean, guys?
I say it's, we don't talk about toxic studs enough. I say it often.
I know. step up, toxic studs.
I wonder with comedians, right? Because they always talk about the trauma that comedians have experienced. I wonder if it is the expectation of always having to make people laugh. You know how psychotic that is to get on stage in front of hundreds, thousands of people and say, I'm going to make them laugh.
Yeah, it's a very hard job.
Yes.
It's a very hard job, and it's a very weird job. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you do it on The Daily Show? How do you do, meaning, well, the difference between this mm-hmm. and that?
Well, because, number one, I don't approach it from a comedian's perspective because I'm not a comedian.
And number Thank two, you. Thank you for saying that.
Yes. I hate when they say that. But The Daily Show allows me to go in depth on things I might just touch here on the surface.
But do you worry about getting laughs?
Nah. I'd rather,
really?
Nah. I'm more so concerned with just saying something. Because that's when I look at The Daily Show, that's the type of institution that it is. I'm more so concerned about saying something that I know people are going to actually be informed by and take something away from and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that thing where you do what might have been a punchline and you hear that air conditioning unit in the background. You're like, uh-oh. Okay.
Well, I feel like I do that anyway naturally, though. I feel like, you know, you have to use humor to push things along.
Right, but there it's sort of like metered for laughs.
Yeah,
so yeah. I'm just wondering if you get, it's not scared, but like, a little
yes.
bit like you're yeah scared
the
good
yes.
yeah
yes
and do you change your approach? You just read what's on the you write it, read what's on the prompter.
Yeah, because I might be a psychopath or some type of sociopath.
It's yeah, like
you know you're going to either get the laugh or you're going to feel the pain of not
right. That's
making
the other
laugh.
Thing is like I don't, you know, a lot of people. I have a huge hunk about athletes too because we want, you know, good mental health in sports. And I'm like, you know, I want good mental health for everybody, but not athletes. Like, we need our athletes to be psychos.
What?
Let me repeat myself, Envy. We need our athletes to be. Did you see The Last Dance? Did Michael Jordan seem mentally healthy to you in the slightest? Giant mansion, one chair. Come on, guys. he's out of his mind. So what I'm saying, punching Steve Kerr, and then I don't care. And then people are like, well, he's, you know, he's an angry guy. He's not a great husband or dad. I'm like, well, I'm not married to him. I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't break the law, mm-hmm. You can be as rotten to the people around you as well. LeBron said on his podcast the other day, in order to be great, you have to hurt your loved ones.
Yeah, he said you got to be selfish.
And that's what the gambit is. All these people, any great athlete is, Tom Brady is out of his mind. It's like he retired, made it like 10 days, and he was like, I don't know these fucking kids. Like, you can't, like, you don't know. Any great is out of their mind. And I don't even get into, like, OJ. I'm talking about just, like, MJ, LeBron's a little something, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right? If he's saying in public, you have to hurt your family. Like Lance Armstrong. The joke I did on the show was like, I don't even consider Lance Armstrong an athlete. I consider Lance Armstrong a criminal who found a bike.
Damn,
like,
damn.
That guy is a criminal.
Damn.
Think about the worst lie you ever told and then imagine selling bracelets about it. This guy's gone. Tiger, I mean, that dude, he's Tokyo drifting at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
These guys are wired to, and by the way, the women are too. Mm-hmm. Like the gymnastics girls, we don't give those girls enough credit, man. Like, that's a crazy thing they're doing. Mm-hmm. A lot of them aren't getting paid. A lot of them were getting sexually abused, which is insane.
Yeah.
And
you got to get it right the first time.
And you got to stick the landing or you're not, you ain't getting no Wheaties.
Yeah.
You ain't getting the cover of Wheaties with the wobbly landing. You got to nail it. The figure skating girls, they look like they're in trouble. Like, first of all, it looks like they've never even scene makeup. It's like when they do the routine and they gotta like they've never it's like their first day with makeup like doll shock horror like they're and then they gotta they right, and then yeah. they gotta they do like the hologram thing and then they gotta finish and sit in the booth with their kidnappers at the end.
I wonder if it's people being mentally unwell or people are really using their brains. And what I mean by that is if you decide that, you know, you want to wake up every day and just do the same routine over and over, it doesn't really take much brain function. But people that are really having to open up their brains and use their minds, is just using the brain to that fullest extent, does that just make you feel, drive you crazy or make you seem crazy?
I think that... You know, the joke I do in the show is it's like when you're doing a video, when you're making a video game character, mm-hmm. you have like 100 points for like, you know, dexterity and speed and all this stuff. It's like that's kind of what God does. And sometimes he just gets the calibration wrong. Wow. You know what I mean? Like with when God was making Woody Allen, they were like, how many points should we give him for comedy and filmmaking? And he's like, fuck it, give him 100. And then they were like, but that's not going to leave any points for not fucking his family.
I think so, that would be low emotional IQ.
That's a nice way to put it. That's what the charges were. He low emotionally IQ. So I just think if you're good at one thing, it's a weird, if you can rhyme good, it's like rap. That's your brain. Most people's brains don't come up with couplets like that.
Right.
Most people don't see the world analytically. Most people don't see, let alone analytically and, funnily. So it's just, you're going to be deficient in other areas as long as you're not breaking the law.
Do you think it's the gifts that make you shitty or the world that comes with the gifts?
Oh, being a shitty person?
Yeah, I think.
I think you can
have the gift, but I think it's the world, the access, the power, the money.
Yeah. I think it's. I can't think of many people that have been made. You have to make a real effort to stay centered with all the.
That's right.
Because it just becomes like, if everywhere you go, people say you're in great shape, you're never going to go to the gym. You know what I mean? So if everyone's like, oh, anything for you, sir or miss or whatever, it's like you're just not. It's people will only be as good as they have to be. Mm. That's been my experience. Sure. Like if you demand it of them, then they'll do it. But people will naturally do as little as they. It's like homework. Like what do I got to do to get an A? If you're famous and talented, you don't have to do much. You just have to do the trick. You just got to be funny when it's time to be funny.
You know, with your resume and your talent and all the things that you've done and how funny you are. Do you feel like you get overlooked a lot by the public? Like you should be a bigger comedian because, like you said, the years that you put in this industry from writing, from being on stage, from telling jokes, from all that.
I could say yes or no because I kind of feel like there's no one who I feel like I deserve their, I should be in their place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when, so, and I also feel like, certain people, the people that are like people that do arenas or whatever, it's like they have real performance attributes that I don't necessarily have. Like they're just really, they walk on stage and you're like, well, this is going to be, I always tell Kevin Hart, he is sunshine. He's sunshine.
Yeah, bright.
I direct some of those Chase commercials. Yeah. You cut to that motherfucker in a close up, the sun is shining.
That's right.
It can be in a house. He's just like, let me tell you something, Charlamagne. Da-da-da-da. Just he's Dave is Bugs Bunny. He just is Bugs Bunny. There's nothing you can do about it. Chris Rock talks like a chainsaw. It like Ellen sounds like a flute and a baby. Jerry Seinfeld sounds like a clarinet. So all these people,
we're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought about it, but it's I'm again the gratitude thing.
You've had a great career, Neil.
I've had fantastic. A dude. I've had an.
Why
amazing,
are we talking to Neil like he's dying?
Yeah, like, I have an announcement to make, everybody. That's the thing. Is like I could focus on like what? Why not? I'm. What else? What else? What would happen? What am I looking for? Like I need to be on private jets instead of business class. Like I don't. I'm good. Like I don't. And I'm not saying it like. I wouldn't accept it or I wouldn't accept a promotion in some ways, but like I do theaters. I come on here, people watch it. I appreciate the question, but I was kind of hung up on that for a long time, but the last 6 months to a year, I've just been like, this is amazing. Like I'm either in the ring or I have ringside seats.
Gotcha.
For life, it seems. Not like forever, but like so far, you know?
I don't know if people know, but Neil used to be called, you call him the Black Comic Whisperer. Because you were in all like the legendary black comics' ears, from the Chappelles to the Rocks, right? So when you see everything that's been going on with black comedians this year, all started by the Club Shay Shay, Cat Williams conversation, what are your thoughts?
I always say Cat Williams is the most... Cat Williams on... a podcast or a show is like Mike Tyson in the late 80s where it's the most exciting 90 seconds in sports. We're like, God damn, like you cut, he is going to make some shit happen. He is like what they in basketball, what they call instant offense, put him in, he's getting his shot off. So I mean, Cat's hilarious. And some of the people, Cedric the Entertainer is one of the funniest people I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. Like some of the people he dissed, I'm like, I just disagree with his appraisal of them, and almost to everyone he talked about was really funny, and Kat's great, and all the people he went after were great, and I'm sorry that's how he needed to do it, but I'm gonna take my white ass out of it.
Where do white comedians go to start beefs like that? Is it Rogan?
A little bit. I think it's a little less. It's catty, but I think it's more. I don't want to say like we keep it private, Charlamagne. I can't remember a time where there was like shots fired like that. Like I don't. It's just it didn't seem. But it was, if you're asking me, did I watch it twice? I did. Cat on Club Shay Shay.
What are your thoughts on comedians critiquing other comedians? About two things in particular. One, whether or not another comedian is funny. And two, it's kind of a new phenomenon. Comedians saying other comedians are making offensive jokes.
The offensive thing is, again, why are you asking the clowns? Why are you going to clowns for morality? You know, it's like eating a Snickers and being like, this isn't very nutritious. No shit. It's a Snickers bar. I think if a comic criticizes another comedian's morality, the critic probably isn't very funny. That'd be my first guess. I think it's bad. If you got a problem with somebody, I would just say like address it directly or leave it. Cause there's plenty of people I think are shitty at comedy. I just avoid them. Or I'd say like, you know, you did your thing, something vague. But I would never criticize somebody in public that I can. I'm sure I have, but I try to avoid it if I can.
Yeah, because we were talking about that this week with Gerard Carmichael and Dave Chappelle, because he said, first he was saying, you know, Dave's whole legacy is transgender jokes. And then he said Dave's an egomaniac. But then literally, and I said, you should not criticize a comedian about anything offensive because it can happen to you in a second. And literally, less than 12 hours later, they're on Gerard about what he said on his HBO show. And, you know, being a... in slave a master, role playing slave and master with his wife.
Well, yeah,
boyfriend.
it's like me tooing somebody. It's like you can get popped. Mm-hmm. We can all get popped for tons of anything. If you've been doing it long enough, like you did a pot. We all do so many podcasts, you don't even remember. Mm-hmm. And then someone go, remember that? And you're like, no, but that is my, I guess I said that. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing of like casting the first stone. Like, you, it's a dangerous game because everyone, it's like mutually assured destruction. Mm-hmm. Basically, once you start
pointing fingers,
it's going to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
In any minute.
You know, Bill Burr spoke about being on Chappelle's show back in the day. Did you know that all of those guys, the Burrs, the Rogans, the Donnell Rollins, Charlie Murphy, did you know all of these people would end up being, well, except for Donnell, icons in their own right?
Did you see I picked up Donnell up there?
No, I'm focusing on with the bento. Oh, with the Ashley, that's hilarious.
Bent over, yeah.
Was he wearing Timberlands?
Yeah.
All right, great. He doesn't look like them, but I like how fat he is. It really captures his doughiness. I mean, I remember when Bill auditioned and Dave was like, thank God he can act. Cause that dude's really funny. Mm-hmm. All I remember about doing the show is just, it was very hard, but it was very gratifying to be able to have, like, small ideas with me and Dave and then being able to expand them. Because the Charlie, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but, like, me and Dave wrote Half Baked. We turned it in, right, in 1997. We have a celebratory mushroom night. Mm-hmm. And this is when I wasn't using medicine for healing. Mm-hmm. It was back when I was just using it to party, baby. And we do mushrooms, go to a club, and I see Dave talking to this guy, and I'm like, is it like Eddie Murphy's brother, like fat brother? And then I go over, and it's Charlie. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know him. And Charlie's like, I'm on mushrooms, and Charlie's like holding court. Like, yeah, me and my brother came out here, did it, was the only real motherfuckers here, and did it, Jerry Curls and all that shit. And then he kept talking about Hollywood, and Charlie was going, there's poison in ice cream. This motherfucker, this poison and ice cream. So then me and Dave would say, there's poison and ice cream for like years. Then we were writing that Real World sketch and we were like, you know, we should get Charlie Murphy, see if he can do it. And then based on doing shrooms with him 5 years earlier and being like, it's something about that guy.
Wow.
So I guess there, and then snowballed into, and then he tells the Rick James story. He tells the Prince story. And then it just became, it changed all of our lives. So it's, it's like taking credit for it seems wrong because it's, we all got so much from it, mm-hmm. from having him on the show. He tells a story that my life, it's like, you know, before and after mm-hmm. that sketch airing, like I could almost tell you the date. It was 20 years ago, like recently.
Wow. Could a show like that exist ever again?
I think you could probably figure out a way to do the sketches, but in terms of impact, everything's so, it was like one funnel. Like culture was one funnel. And so you would get it like, go to the funnel and get what came out. And now there's, you know, a million funnels on all of our phones. So you just go like, I subscribe to 40 funnels. And then but it used to be like, there was only one place to go or right. three places to go. So I guess Comedy Central wasn't like as big before Chappelle Show, but it was always big. And then, yeah. So you could probably do the sketches, but I don't think it would have the thing where everyone's watching it.
Gotcha.
You know, I don't mm-hmm. think. Do you guys think?
It depends who the talent is.
Yeah, who's doing it.
Yeah. It's possible, but it's unlikely. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Okay.
No, Dave always says, like, people are probably not going to be famous mm-hmm. again the same way I was.
No, duh. No yeah. way. That's been over.
I know, but it is an interesting thing of, like, why not? And you go, because it's the funnel problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was, you know, Mike Myers, like, I was talking to Mike Myers, the comedian, and we were talking about showbiz, and he was talking about showbiz, and as he was talking, I was like, in one decade, Mike Myers was Wayne from Wayne's World, mm-hmm. Shrek, Dr. Evil, and Austin Powers.
He could run for president.
One guy.
Wow.
One guy. He's Canadian. One guy in 10 years. Damn. So that, and he goes, yeah, it was a monoculture. And now it's like sort of more of a free-for-all.
80s, 90s celebrity is so powerful, literally, you can get elected president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
It's a different level of celebrity.
Yeah.
Black or white. It's just a different level of celebrity.
Yeah, it is like the last of the, like Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Madonna.
Yes.
I saw U2 at the Sphere. Like, they're real. And they sold 750,000 tickets in 2 months. It's like, that's a lot of tickets.
But that's when it was real fandom, real talent, and the barrier of entry was way more difficult to get in any of these spaces.
You had to be talented, or you had to be like, because I don't think Madonna or Tom Cruise are the most, but they're really good at, like, they don't, Madonna doesn't have the best singing voice, Tom Cruise probably doesn't have the best acting instrument, but like, they were good, they took the job seriously.
That's right.
Like, Tom Cruise is like jumping rope before, you know, like doing shit to make himself.
His last movie, he did his own stunts.
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Yep.
You was talking about comedians with morals, right? And we shouldn't go to the clowns for morality. But what about Kevin Hart and Ellen DeGeneres?
What about them?
Because you said that they, and especially you said that they have to be great humanitarians and role models.
Well, what I'm saying is they're expected to be. But it's not a realistic expectation.
Got you.
I have a joke in the special about Kev where, like, I had a handyman at my house who was like, do you know Kevin Hart? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, is he humble? And I was like, you're a handyman. You're not humble. Mm-hmm. Like, why does Kevin have to be humble? Mm-hmm. What he was asking me is, hey, Neil, is that 5'3" billionaire humble? What do you think? How humble do you think Kevin Hart is on a scale from Napoleon to Tom Cruise? If you had to guess, why are you looking to Kevin Hart for humility?
But he tries to be, to your point. When you say, well, it depends what you're talking about.
We all know Kevin. Yeah, Kevin's a good dude.
Yeah.
But he's not humble. Nor should he. Why does he have to be humble?
What's the definition of humble?
Well, it's different, right? Because around your peers, you want to talk your shit. You know what I mean? But to people,
he's humble to the people.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Well, because they can all throw him in the trash. He's tiny. He has to be humble. Yes, he's just for security.
Because even with Kev does things that I think other people in this situation wouldn't do. Kev will still come back and touch places that other comedians.
Kev's a great dude. Mm-hmm. But like this expectation that celebrities have to be moral, it's just like a fake, just moving the goalpost. I'm not saying I'm not saying they should be able to break laws or any of that stuff, but I'm just saying I think it's a fake expectation based on somebody, because you're doing well, then people go, well, then are you nice?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, are you nice? Sometimes.
Yeah,
it's a human being.
We're humans.
It's like why there's churches on every corner, because we're not nice. You know what I mean? Because we need constant reminders of like, don't murder. Ten Commandments. Look at this. Yeah. Don't murder. And you're like, okay, no, you're right. I shouldn't murder. But we need constant reminders. Right. And the expectations that they'll come from clowns is a bit like, come on. It should not be our responsibility. It's a failure of priests, imams, clergy, you know, like, and politicians, and because they couldn't keep their dicks in their pants, and so now it's like, well, all right, shit, who else we got? That Ellen seems pretty, you know what I mean? Like, who else? You know, you're next, man. They're gonna start looking for you for morality.
No, they've been. Please, you think so?
I'm not funny enough.
I put it out there enough. I want to be the bad guy.
You do want to be the bad guy.
Not purposely.
No, I know what you mean.
But to your point, I want you just to look at me as a human being.
Yeah.
So if you look at me as a human being, I'm gonna make mistakes. I'm not gonna always get things right. I'm not gonna always say the right thing. I might piss you off. Because, you know, especially with us, right? And Neil's a huge mental health advocate as well. Anytime you're a person that is always on a healing journey and you talk about your mental health, they want us to do everything perfect now.
That's right.
I can't say anything too wrong.
Yeah.
You know, aren't you supposed to be the mental health guy? Yeah. Like,
yeah, but like, I still like fucking or whatever. Like, yeah, it's, I don't. Yeah, but you're right. It does become. I'm worried that people are going to be like, well, how could you say that athletes don't want good, you don't want a good mental health? Because I don't. Because I'm a person. I'm selfish. I want a good game. And that you're going to have good games when everyone's fucking out of their minds.
Damn.
That's true. It's like, I don't, you know what? Sports was invented to train the military between wars. So that's,
really?
Yes, that's
which
how.
Sport? Just all sports?
In like, in ancient Greece, mm-hmm. like 2,000-3,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was between wars. They were like, we need to get the army to be able to do, like, to train. Between, and they didn't have the ropes and all that shit, so they would like do battles or whatever. Yeah. So that's what the whole thing is like analogous of. It's like a proxy for war. So it's like Cleveland versus or the Clippers versus or whoever versus whoever or Kansas City and you're really mm-hmm. you know
at the least these people are lovers of violence, right?
Like, yeah.
At least they're masochists. If you're a football player, boxer, UFC, MMA, at the least you're a masochist.
Well, I bet they're more sadists than masochists. They really? Like whooping ass more than they like getting their ass whooped. Mm. Masochists like getting their ass whooped.
But even if you're a running back, you still know you're going to get hit, so you still have to kind of like the pain, right? You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Well, you
still
got
getting tackled.
Right, but, you know, people, they like
hurting.
Yeah, they like, it's like hurt or be hurt. There, it's a lot of aggression. And what I would say is like people's need for aggression and people's kind of unhealthy need for status is the greatest economic driver in world history.
Damn.
I really, so you know what I mean?
True. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone on this wall didn't do it for the right reasons. They did it because they wanted a come up. They wanted. Yeah. I'm sick of being treated like garbage.
Damn.
And I'm sick. And I'm. Mm. I know I'm more special than this.
Mm.
So that they went out of. They moved from wherever they were to do a thing that would get them status, and they could. Like, you know what? I am great. I am. I do deserve exaltation. That's inventors. That's. I mean, inventors are all there because they got it. They're trying to get some pussy. Like, it's a long term pussy plan.
That's kind of true, though.
It is, of course.
If you see why Zuckerberg created Facebook.
Not a lot of women down at the patent office. They don't need to do it. They don't need to invent stuff. They'll just wait around. Guys will invent stuff. Get like guys that are like a 3 out of 10. You invent Elon Musk. You see that old picture of him when he had bad hair? He's fat, dope.
Yeah.
It's like the guy did it to get women. I mean, not exactly, but like that's the whole.
Right.
Yeah, that's like the primal urge.
That's the and when you watch the Facebook movie, that's the whole premise of the movie. That's why Zuckerberg created Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm not even mad at it. It's just don't break laws.
Gotcha.
But you can be rotten or whatever. Just don't break laws. That's all.
Crazy Good is streaming now.
That's Netflix. What we're saying all that to say.
Yes.
Watch Neil Brennan Crazy Good.
It's out right now. Make sure you go check it out on Netflix.
And check out Neil's podcast too, man. The Blocks.
Thanks, everybody.
Anything else, Neil?
Nah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
It's Neil Brennan. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up. In the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.